Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Please be seated. We just heard some very serious readings. First and second one were very serious, challenging us with telling the truth, with not being covetous, murderous. And then Jesus, in the beginning of the gospel, starts talking about his own death. But he realizes they're not paying attention. What are you arguing about? But they don't tell him the truth. And he goes on, and he says to them, "Then he took a child and put it among them. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me.'" The child was not an object lesson. The child was a real child being held by Jesus. I can't even imagine what that child felt. And I truly believe that child will never, ever forget that day. All of you have childhood memories that you never, ever forget. They're just right there. Some are really silly. Some are special. Some change your life. A silly one. I grew up in Manhattan Beach, and my relatives would come. We would go down to the beach. And I had an uncle who had yellow trunks. And on the trunks were big red ants. And we loved teasing him. "You have ants in your pants." But there was also a moment that changed my life. I was at American Martyrs Church. I was a little girl. And I see the priest hold up a host. I've never, ever forgotten that moment. Something happened to me. It felt more than magical. What's this all about? And I had to grow up to understand the power of that moment. So that child was not an object lesson. All of us have childhood memories. And some memories affect the rest of our lives. One of those memories is remembering watching on TV Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Roy Rogers was a cowboy, white hat, silver band, white horse named Trigger, and his wife Dale Evans, and they would sing, and they were positive, and they were in these westerns. But recently I've come to find out they had four children. One of them was born with Down syndrome. This was over 50 years ago. And in those days, when a baby was born with Down syndrome, they could tell by the eyes or the stillness or the lack of response, you need to give your baby to a home. You need to get rid of your baby. Your baby is not going to live. And Dale and Roger, Roy Rogers said, "We are taking this baby home. This is our baby, and we are called to love this baby." I read the book recently, Angels Unaware. Dale wrote this 2 days after that baby died, who was 2 years old. The baby's name was Robin. And the foreword begins with, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some have entertained angels unaware. The name of the book is Angels Unaware, and Roy Rogers called Robin his little angel. So what began the day they brought home that baby was not instant strength. They grew to understand through prayer and through reading the Bible that the strength of Jesus would always be with them, the wisdom of Jesus, the way of God's presence would be with them. And they grew in their ability to raise this child for only 2 years. When Robin died, 2 days later, Dale began to write a book, Angels Unaware. She wrote it in the first person of Robin, that Robin, this little baby, knew God was using her to affect her parents. And so these 100 pages are the feelings of Robin and recognizing the growth in her parents, even in moments of her pain. And the book ends with Roy and Dale continuing on in their work in the world, but also being witnesses to having been parents to Robin and what they had grown to become as witnesses of their faith. God uses all of us. God uses children, God uses adults, and God is constantly surprising us, as God did in the direction of this sermon. So Wednesday night, we had vestry. And vestry begins with the gospel for the coming Sunday. So the vestry hears this gospel. We finish reading it, and I ask what word or phrase touched you and why. People share. And then I say, is there anyone else? Jennifer Spaulding says, yes. I had an experience last Sunday, and it's coming from Jesus relating to children. So she tells us, last Sunday, she and Mike and her family were invited to a park for a barbecue and a soccer game. Sunday evening, they go to the park. She and her friends are doing the barbecue, and they notice a homeless man. And is the way of her friends and Jennifer and Mike, they invite the homeless man to join them at the barbecue. So here, this homeless man sits. Mike asks his name, begins to ask, who are you, where are you from? His name is Martin. He's from Palos Verdes. He's too embarrassed to tell what the circumstances were that led to him becoming homeless. Tommy, their 11-year-old, sees all this going on, this stranger, this homeless man, comes and sits down with Jennifer and Mike and Martin and talks with him too. Pretty soon, Tommy leaves. And he's off on the side, and Jennifer, we've been emailing and texting, went over to him. Tommy seemed upset. She goes over to her son and says, what's wrong? Tommy says, can't we take him home? Jen says to her son, the best thing, Tommy, you could do for Martin would to be grow up and be the best person you can be so you can help people when they need help. Jen also told him, all we can do is help people in the best way that we can at that moment. So I thanked Jennifer for saying yes to letting me use this story. And then at the end of the day on Friday, Jen emails me a reflection. And I said, Jen, would you like me to read it or would you like to say it? And Jen will say what she wrote to me.
Should I just stay right here?
Should we just stay right here?
Is
yes.
This fine?
So
no, right here.
Right here. So I thought a lot about why that experience stuck with me. And what I realized is that it was such an example of the power of our mission statement. It was clear to me how we helped Martin that night. We fed him. We talked to him. We made him feel like a person. But then it also became clear to me how he transformed us. It was a moment when we should have been at home taking care of things for Monday morning. We had laundry on the kitchen table that needed folding, grocery shopping that needed to be done, lunches that needed to be packed for the morning, homework that still needed to be completed. But despite that, we followed the Spirit, and we went to the park, and we found ourselves with Martin. And he showed me the power of humility and humanity and the power of being in the moment and being Spirit-led. And in that moment, we let our guards down, and we talked to him, and he did the same. And in that moment, we were just human beings in a shared experience. And it also affirmed for me my life choices. As I watched Mike talk to him, I realized that I chose a man who shares that core value of serving others. And together we chose friends who share that same value. And like our parents taught us, we're raising our kids to do the same. We're raising our kids to act with love. And I have no doubt that Martin transformed Tommy. This is an experience that is shaping the man he will become. And further, this transforming interaction continues to ripple through our lives, and even today. So I'm deeply grateful for that. I'm grateful for Martin and all the ways St. Francis continues to foster our spiritual growth.
Thank you, Jen. We are connected in more ways than one. We are transformed more times than we realize we are invited in that stream and power of transforming love. We are constantly being surprised by the Spirit. Do you trust that Spirit? And instead of doing the laundry and the groceries and packing lunches, go to a park for a silly soccer game and a barbecue, and once again have your life transformed. Well, Jesus was not finished with me. I was already touched by Jen's story. I was touched by reading Angels Unaware. And Friday night, I had been in the office all day. It's now 5:30. It's time for dinner and a movie. Ratatouille was the movie. Dinner was Ratatouille and Chicken Cacciatore, etc. Movie ends, it's time for me to go home. I go to my car, put everything inside. Darn, I forgot my cell phone. So I walk back past the church, turn the corner, and there against the church wall is a homeless man. I say, hello. He says, hello. Can I stay here? I just want to stay right here. And I say, you are welcome to do so. Do you need any food? I knew there was a lot of chicken cacciatore left. Do you want any water? I'll take water. What is your name? My name is Donald. Donald, I'll be right back. Go get some water, come back, give it to Donald. I think I want to go now. Fine, whatever you want to do. So he gets up, Donald, you need some money. $10. $10 for me is like $100. So I got him $10 and he left. I was remembering yesterday, getting ready for today. Isn't it something, I said to God, that I said to Donald, you are welcome to stay here. How many times did Jesus say, welcome, in today's gospel? When you welcome anyone, you welcome me. Jesus was still not finished. I'm looking at the paper and I see an article about the Sandy Hook Promise Foundation. They were at North Torrance High. It's an organization that's been going to high schools to help teenagers learn how to help one another, hopefully to prevent suicide and to prevent mass shootings. And they have three simple steps. See someone alone. Reach out to help. Start with hello. I think today's gospel can be translated yet once again. I think Jesus says today, whenever you say hello to anyone, you say hello to me. And when you say hello to me, you say hello to the one who sent me. Amen.